Learn how you can experience nature in your community at ducks.ca.
Hello, welcome back to Call Me Negotiator. And today we have our special guest, Vahan. Do I pronounce your name right?
Close. It's Vahan.
Okay. Vahan.
That's right.
You mentioned it's an Armenian name.
That's right.
Is that where you're from?
That is not where I'm from, actually. I am born and raised in the community itself in a very Armenian fashion, but I'm originally from Montreal.
Interesting. So do you encounter a lot of culture shock in Canada or when you moved to Vancouver?
Actually, I did. It's quite different. Quebec and the rest of Canada is definitely very different from each other.
Right.
It's a lot more European out there and a lot more, let's say, Asian out here.
Okay.
It's a lot more different. There's a lot more Chinese cultures here, Japanese cultures, Vietnamese cultures, Taiwanese. It's a completely different world.
Right.
As opposed to Montreal was a lot more Greeks and Italians and Armenians and Lebanese, and it's just a different world entirely. So yes, there was a bit of culture shock when I got out here.
Okay, so even a Canadian who's working and living in Canadian but within different cities can meet culture shock.
100%.
Okay, but could you share a little bit about what are you doing? Because I think that is going to make people feel surprised.
What am I doing here in Vancouver?
Like, yeah, for your career, for what you do, or your passion?
Well, my career is teaching. I've been a teacher for 10 years now. I started in Montreal. I was initially teaching in adult education.
Right.
I was teaching in English language, literary arts, essay writing, but my passion at the time was teaching social sciences.
Social sciences?
Yes, primarily history courses.
Okay.
I really enjoyed doing that, but once COVID and all that started happening, working in an English school in a French province, things started getting a little dicey.
In Montreal,
yes. So I decided to move across the country, come to Vancouver, where there's beaches, nature, mountain, all in the same place. Why not?
Right.
So I came out here, and being out here, trying to incorporate myself in the communities out here, the people, the different lifestyle society, I started talking to every single person I could see and find. That's when I noticed the feedback that I was getting from people.
Okay.
Everyone started telling me they enjoyed the way I speak, the way I approach people, the way I talk, my energy, my enthusiasm.
Right.
So I decided to shift my education into more my teaching experience more towards educating around communication and public speaking.
Ah, I see. Because I thought you've been teaching public speaking and communication the whole time. That's why I felt like, oh my God, there shouldn't be any challenge for you. Obviously, it's a naive thoughts because I feel like the most important thing or one of the most important skill is be able to communicate with other human beings, right? And
that's right.
Then that basically can solve all kinds of conflicts or deal with all kinds of challenge. To be able to have the skill will be able to deal with the culture shock a little better. But when you talk about this, your career transition is from teaching politics science or other disciplines into finding your real talent. Is that correct?
Yes, essentially. I really enjoyed it. I was already one to give speeches. You know, primarily if you're a teacher, you're technically always giving a speech all the time. Every single time you're explaining something to your class, to a student. And when I came out here, because of the skills that I already had around communication, I learned to enjoy the culture shock. I got curious about it.
Right.
Instead of it scaring me, I jumped into the world and wanted to discover this whole new part of Canada that felt like a totally different country, a whole different world. And yeah, diving in there, the first place I actually started working in was for debate. I worked at a debate academy for a little bit. But it wasn't really something. I enjoyed some aspects of debate.
Right.
The research portion of it and finding the information. But the communication aspect around debate wasn't really what I wanted to teach. I really wanted to help people break through their fear of speaking up. help people find their true voice, their true nature, as to what they want to communicate, what they want to say, to not be afraid of conflict, and most importantly, to be able to create opportunities for themselves, to not shy away from the world. Essentially, teaching introverts how to be extroverts.
Okay, that's an interesting conclusion at the end. Can you teach change introverts to extrovert?
Of course you can, because whether you're an extrovert or an introvert, learning the opposite spectrum is a skill.
Right.
Just like confidence is a skill. It's something you develop. You go through the practice. Of course, it's painful for many people a lot of the times. Myself being an introvert, essentially, initially, I learned to be extroverted. I learned how to turn that on and how to turn it off. What it means to be introverted or extroverted, from my understanding, is the way in which you recharge yourself. An introverted person, once they get tired, they need that time for themselves. An extroverted person needs that social time to recharge themselves and are generally afraid of being alone.
Right.
It's a skill that can be developed on either side of the spectrum. Now, for the work I'm doing, it's mostly for introverts to learn how to speak up, how to challenge themselves past their limits, to go into the world with confidence. And for extroverts, it's essentially how to communicate better the extroverted rambles that they find themselves in all the time.
Yeah, right.
How to control that energy.
Right. You mentioned about you started with teaching debate, right? And guess what? I do wanted to have a little debate here.
Okay.
Which I was partially agree with what you said, right? Like, because a lot of us were taking this knowledge of how the introverted and extroverted people are different. Like, before we thought introverted people are just shy. And then later on, we started to understand that introverted people probably enjoy charging themselves alone, while extroverted people charging themselves in a, like, wildly social life, right? And I agree with that too, but then later on, start to partially disagree with that with my some of my own exploration.
Okay.
So that's why I mentioned about it could be turning a little bit debate, which could be a little, or is going to be a different format we're going to have for our show.
Okay.
So let's practice right now. Because, because I feel like I'm an extrovert, but I do also charge myself a lot by myself, right? As I turn more mature. So I didn't choose to do this, but I've been through some hard time in my life, and I was forced to be alone and digest everything and dealing with all the changes in my life. And then over the time, I realized I grow some maturity. And this maturity includes how to be able to analyze myself and digest my own emotions and come with some kind of solutions to be able to deal with the outside world, which include other people, right? So then I feel like, oh, wait. In that case, I'm definitely an extroverted. I wasn't sure because when I was at my low time, I thought I might be an introverted. But then I realized I like to get feedbacks and interaction from people, but I spend most of my time by myself. So that's kind of become a little challenge of the opinion of extroverted people charge themselves when they hang out with people too, because I actually need some of my own time. And I talk to a lot of introverted people. They are very talkative and expressive when they find the right people to talk to.
Right.
And they find it's a relief too. Right. So what do you think about this?
Well, that's an interesting point that you bring up, because, again, these are skills that we've built up throughout our lives, right?
Right.
For yourself, the key of your introvertedness, let's say, you learning that skill, it's as you said, you were forced into that through life circumstances.
Right.
You were forced to be alone, and you expressed it as well. It was very difficult. It was a difficult time. But through that time, you learned the importance of being on your own and how that can be also helpful for your life in general. So as an extrovert, you learned that I also need that time alone. And therefore, in that time, by life pushing you into that circumstance,
right,
you built that skill of, wow, there's actually such a benefit of me being alone. Now, as for introverts, on the other hand, yes, they are very talkative. Introverts have so much that they want to share because they're constantly thinking. They have so much going on inside of them that they want to put out there into the world.
Mm.
But it's like you said, when they meet that one person that they feel comfortable with, and sometimes for many introverts, that could take a very long time to do.
Mm.
The key here is to break that down,
mm-hmm.
to break that time shorter and shorter and shorter, so that immediately when they meet a person, they can feel the confidence and the courage to just start expressing and create that balance for themselves as well.
Right. Interesting. Are you using your debating skill to answer this question?
A little. As you were talking, I was taking notes. I'm like, okay, this.
Yeah, mention about this. I have to let you share some of your professional skills of how we can enhance our debating. I would say debating thoughts or like critical thinking, mm-hmm. right, into this public speaking as what you teach and help people to be more confident and deal with all these challenges they have to use with the skills.
Mm-hmm. Well, most of it really does come down to presence.
Mm.
It comes down to knowing thyself, being able to slow down and to just almost silence your own mind. To fully listen to what the other person you're speaking to is saying.
Right.
To fully register all of the information.
Mm-hmm.
Once you're fully engaged with the person in front of you,
mm-hmm.
at that point, that's where I start adding in the elements of public speaking, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Public speaking and debating, where just like we did right now, you mentioned a few key points,
mm-hmm.
and I chose which ones I want to speak towards.
Mm.
And as I started speaking towards them, I incorporate my public speaking skills, which at this point are, I wouldn't say perfect, but it's a work in progress. Mm-hmm. I don't believe in perfection. I find there's always room for improvement.
Mm-hmm.
I start incorporating the different structure that I want to speak with,
mm-hmm.
which ones I want to speak to first, all the while being incredibly mindful of the word choices I'm using,
right?
How fast or how slow I'm speaking,
mm-hmm.
as well as making sure that I'm breathing while I'm talking.
Mm.
That's why presence is so important.
Mm.
The number one thing that I initially start teaching in the ways that I teach communication and public speaking,
mm-hmm.
the first thing is finding ways to remove any type of filler word that's mm-hmm. found in your communication.
Right.
Every single time someone speaks and I'm not really sure anymore what to say, and like I'm trying to figure out like what to say, and I'm starting to run out of breath, so I take panic breaths.
Mm,
and
I
that's
see.
Essentially where people start faltering in
I
what
see.
They need to say because they're not slowing down.
Mm.
It's okay to breathe. It's okay to sit in silence when we're communicating.
Yeah, I see. Like that was, I would say, very useful skills for us to being aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about when you have this teaching career for 10 years and you came across different disciplines, right? Now is public speaking. And back a little bit, go back a little bit, it was debate.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we go back further, you were teaching politics science and other discipline that you mentioned, right? Could mm-hmm. you just remind me a little bit?
There was English as a second language.
Right.
I was teaching literary arts, as in essay writing, novel studies, critical thinking around just news and just a lot of writing components mostly,
mm-hmm.
as well as just basic history courses.
Mm. So when you look back, do you feel these thoughts are connected with reasons?
Which thoughts? Sorry.
Like this thought, sorry. Like the dots when you, let's say, started to teaching some other disciplines. And then those
right.
become critical thinking fuels for teaching yes. debate.
100%. Because I remember the first day I walked into a classroom,
mm-hmm.
I was completely terrified.
Mm.
I was terrified. I was 25 years old, and because it's adult education, essentially every single person in that classroom was either my age, older, or even the age of my parents.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine I walk in there, there's 30, 35 people, they're all mm-hmm. looking at me and expecting to learn from me.
Right.
And I've the most amount of people I've spoken to in my life and at one shot altogether has been maybe 10 people. And now I'm in a classroom. There's 35 people in front of me.
And you were an introvert.
And I'm an introvert.
Yeah. Okay, that's the worst nightmare you could ever imagine.
Yeah, it definitely was an experience. But I learned from there. And I realized the more prepared I was getting, the more I was preparing for the classes, the more I was showing up, the more I was putting my heart and authenticity into the class, the more I was letting go of the performative aspects of it, of I'm a teacher, you're a student, and really just looking at everyone as equals. We're all here together because you need to learn. I'm also learning from you.
Right.
And just creating that experience, that authentic experience, that genuine experience, that's when I started getting a lot better.
I see. And how did you find that could help you to transit to the next row of as well teaching as well, right? But then you were teaching teenagers.
At some point, yes.
Or at the beginning point, you were teaching kids or
no,
adults?
No, I started with adults.
Oh, started with
adults. And
then later you transit to this debate teaching row.
Yes, those were high school students.
Okay, so what are the difference between, you know, teaching with adults and also teaching, I would say learning with adults and teenagers as well, right?
Right.
And then now you're teaching public speaking to entrepreneurs and also other adults as well.
Yes.
So I felt like this is like ups and downs, and there's some crossroad skill set and experiences. Could you share a little bit about that? What's the challenges? What are the conflicts? And how did you deal with them?
Right. So teaching and learning with adults is a little bit easier because of the fact that first and foremost, a lot of them want to be there. And they're more engaged with the learning. They understand better. They question better. And it's almost more entertaining to get to a certain conclusion. It's much more of an enjoyable journey. But let's say the shadow side of that, the negative side of that, is that there is a certain ego involved as well, because every single person that's older than me, especially at the time, would look at me, and one of them even voiced it that they're upset that I'm such a young person in front of them. What is it that I'm going to actually teach them? How is it that they're going to learn from me? He's like, I'm 40 something years old. I used to be an engineer. Now I'm going to learn from you, a kid? Really? That was a very challenging moment in my teaching career. But when it comes to teenagers, for example, they're very talkative, sometimes awkward, but it's also fun because it reminds me of what it was like at that age. And it brings me back to that place.
Right.
And I communicate with them from that state. I remember what 16, 17-year-old Vahan was like. And I kind of bring that persona in front of them, and I connect with them, find out what their minds are like, because teenagers are naturally extroverted. They're very hyper. They have a lot of energy.
Okay.
Whether it's the frustration or the annoyance or I don't want to be here or I want to be here, it's very expressive. Even if they don't want to be here, you'll know that they don't want to be here. If they don't want to talk, you know they don't want to talk. If they want to talk, you know, you always know almost what's going on with, at least from my experience with teenagers. But it's also very difficult to get to a learning experience because the fact that there isn't that level of life experience yet. Especially when it comes to public speaking and debating and learning these communication skills. For them, they haven't experienced life enough to understand the value of this. They haven't gone out into the world yet and lost opportunities because of a lack of communication or gained opportunities because of communication.
I see.
They haven't experienced that yet. Yeah. They're still trying to figure out why their friend is talking to that girl and why that girl is not paying attention to me. They're still stuck in that drama of high school.
But maybe you can start to use that drama to get them into that, because, hey, this can get you to get that girl.
How are you going to communicate? Exactly.
Right. Did so, you use that?
I mean, maybe I should.
You could.
Maybe I should.
So how did you solve this problem or conflict or challenge to you, right?
Well, I try and give them the autonomy instead. Instead of being the teacher of, this is what I want you to write about, this is what I want you to speak about, this is what I want you to practice.
Right.
I allow them to bring their own creative element to the classroom.
Oh.
What is it that you really care about? What is it that you really like? What is it that you don't like and you want to talk about? I allow them to bring all of that forward. And through their communication, I start guiding them. Oh, and I question them in what they're saying. That way they start building the skills of, okay, I need to slow down because it's not making sense. And the more I'm questioning, they start paying more attention to the words that they're using to see how much clarity they're putting into their communication, into their presentations even sometimes. And I just, every student is completely different. I don't believe that there's one way of teaching. Every single person has a different pace, has a different way of learning, has a different way of retaining information. And I try and find that for every student, especially in high school.
I see. You mentioned about you are teaching, or you have been teaching, debate in public speaking. For us, we can understand that's both under the big umbrella of communication.
Yes.
But then what are the differences between these two, especially when you're teaching people, right? And how to help them to understand the differences, and how do you bring up the questions to challenge each one of them when under these two different columns?
The columns of communication and public speaking.
The debate and
debate and public speaking.
Right.
Okay. Debate ideally is more around the research itself. It's a lot more organizations around, we know what the topic is, we know what the question is. I need to find all the information on the side that I'm going to be defending. At all the same time, having the information of the potential rebuttals and arguments I might receive from the other side, from the opposing side. Now, the thing with debating is that sometimes you might be defending the side that you don't necessarily agree with.
Right. But then you have to use your critical thinking and the research.
Exactly. You're using your critical thinking, you're using your research. So it's a lot of memorization. It's a lot of information retention and then information dumping. As clearly and as fastly as you can, because it's timed. Every single second that you're slowing down a little bit and you're thinking and you get lost in the you're losing 1, 2, 3 seconds.
I see. Of
maybe that one word that could change everything. It's a completely different craft. It's a different game entirely. But I do believe that debating is incredibly helpful to build, yes, to a certain extent, some form of communication skills, but more importantly, it's a great way of building research skills on different topics.
Right. And I think you mentioned about this very interesting point that people who are not in this debate teaching game would probably not be aware of, is that sometimes you could have to defend what you disagree with. And that way you cannot be there and start to have this battle in your mind about, oh, I don't want to do this. You have to do your job. This is your responsibility.
Exactly.
So it's really about collect information and do this research in advance, right?
Yes.
And then we want to talk about what's the difference between the public speaking.
Public speaking allows you to truly speak what's inside of you, what's inside your heart.
So you don't have to say something that you fully disagree, or you're not going to be put in that
position.
That's
right. You're not put in that type of position when it comes to public speaking, because public speaking is, it's again, it's gathering the information that you need in order to give a presentation. Now, if we look at general definitions of what public speaking is, public speaking, people refer to someone giving a longer speech. A leader giving a speech to their team to motivate them. Or Tony Robbins, a motivational speaker.